ESPN College Football Podcast.
Hey, everybody. Welcome in to the ESPN College Football Podcast. And as we like to say on Marty McGee, we're a little partly cloudy today. It is the day after the college football playoff national championship game. In case you haven't heard, pretty good fourth quarter. And the Georgia Bulldogs won their first national championship since 1980. And you have to go to ESPN.com. You have to read the story that Mark Schlabaugh wrote. And that's not just a well-researched, well-written story. That's a story written from a man who has lived the pain of the Georgia Bulldogs and all their near misses over the last four decades. Mark Schlabaugh, son, how are you feeling this morning?
Feeling pretty good. How are you, McGee?
I'm good. Are you feeling good? Or are you in recovery? Or what's it like? Stetson Bennett this morning on Good Morning America said he slept. I know he was lying, and he was clearly still a little buzzed. Where are you right now?
I'm in O'Hare Airport trying to get home. I saw Stetson with a bottle of Pappy last night, so I hope he slept. He deserved it though.
Yeah.
We're trying to get home back to Georgia, and it was fun. I mean, it was cold as heck, but it was definitely worth it. And it was pretty amazing to see the emotion from everybody when it was over.
Well, and listen, we all do our jobs as professionals, and I have sat with you in many a press box and many a Georgia football game, and I can attest firsthand, as you can hopefully to me, watching my alma mater, Tennessee, that, you know, we cover the games, we just cover the games. That's what we do. But sometimes there's just a little more to it than that. And for you, I'm going to ask you this first, and then I'm going to ask you about being a writer later. But for you as a Georgia man, a Georgia alum, someone who still lives right there in the shadow of the hedges, what's it like for the dog people today?
You know, I think more than anything, it's relief after 40 years because they'd been so close. It's taken so much out of so many people I know. I mean, you know me, I'm objective. You try to play it down the middle, but it's my alma mater. It's my wife's alma mater. We're fortunate enough to have two kids there now. Both of our daughters are in school in Athens. So, you know, in the back of your heart, your mind, you wanted them to experience it. I think they deserved it after I went through 5 years of reg off. I went to school there. If I wasn't living in Athens or just outside of town, you know, all but 2 years in the last 30, I've lived in Athens or just right outside Athens, Clark County. So I know how much those losses just hurt those people and just took so much out of them and just destroyed them.
My oldest daughter, Caroline, literally cried for 2 days after 2nd and 26 to Devontae Smith. I don't know that she'll ever get over it. And I know there are a lot of people in Athens and you know, in Georgia that it just crushed their souls. And to finally get over the hump and to finally end that drought, you know, and to finally prove that you're one of the elite and upper echelon teams in the country, I think means so much to so many people.
By the way, y'all, I mentioned we're all partly cloudy. That includes like the technology. So we just switched over in the middle of that to Schlabaugh's telephone, but that's okay. We'll get you however we can take you. Kirby Smart is one of these dog people, Mark. Kirby Smart is a guy that grew up. That's his team. That's his alma mater. He played there in the 90s. What did you see in Kirby Smart last night? I was standing there when he hugged Vince Dooley on the side, you know, there at midfield post game. What did you see in Kirby Smart last night as he celebrated? Like I've never seen him that emotional before when he wasn't angry.
Yeah, I mean, he wouldn't admit it when I talked to him before the playoffs, but I mean, he knew what it meant and what was on his shoulders and what was on that team's shoulders. I mean, he wanted to win it for every guy who'd played there, including him and the guys he played with. You know, for everybody in the state that roots for Georgia, I mean, he wanted to bring it. And it's for him to do it, for it to be one of Georgia's own, I think it makes it that much more special for everybody else. But, you know, he said it. I think most importantly, he wanted to win it for those kids because he felt like they deserved it. I mean, they'd been the number one team in the country for most of the season and had been rolling until playing Alabama in the SEC championship game. And I knew, you know, I know Kirby knows how much it hurt him to not see guys like Nick Chubb and Sony Michel and Jake Fromm and, you know, the heart and soul of that 2017 team when they came up short at the very end. You know, I know how much that hurt him to not be able to get one for those guys.
Well, and one of those guys that did win was Stetson Bennett. And I mean, he's one of your dog people too. And by the way, y'all, I keep using that term. Larry Munson is the one to coin that phrase, these dog people. But one of those dog people is Stetson Bennett. And I kind of bird dogged him after the game last night and wrote about that. But you wrote a phenomenal profile of him way before everyone else did. And then we updated it leading into this championship game. His story is, I mean, how do you feel? I feel like it's one of the most remarkable stories that I've ever had the opportunity to cover.
I mean, it's Rudy, but it's actually true, right? I mean, that's why I just never got all the criticism the kid caught, even from Georgia people this year and last year. And how in the hell is this guy our quarterback? He's 5'9", 175 pounds. Nobody wanted him out of high school except for Middle Tennessee State. And I got a text from Tony Franklin this week reminding me that he was the only guy that offered him a scholarship. but he's a kid that grew up in Georgia. All he ever wanted to do was play quarterback for Georgia. And, you know, he had the crazy path of going there as a preferred walk-on and then leaving because he wasn't getting any playing time and going out to Mississippi, Jones County College, and then coming back. And they bring in Jamie Newman from Wake Forest to beat him out. They bring in JT Daniels from USC to beat him out after Justin Fields went to Ohio State. And, you know, he almost left this fall. He didn't think, you know, they were going to go with Daniels. He was healthy, and Stetson stuck around and ends up getting the job back and never gave it back. But, you know, I talked to Jason Aldean. Now I sound like Marty dropping names, but
my boy Jason Aldean.
I talked to him yesterday before the game and asked him if Georgia wins, are you going to write songs about Stetson Bennett? And he said, I think there's going to be a lot of songs written about Stetson Bennett. I wouldn't mind writing a movie script about Stetson Bennett myself, but I think it's interesting. It seems like he's been there for 19 years, but amazingly, he's got a year of eligibility left. And, you know, we'll probably find out here in the next several days what he's going to do. But I don't know how you wouldn't want a guy who led you to the national championship to come back. But there are probably some Georgia people that are saying we can't go into next year with Stetson Bennett as a quarterback.
Yeah, well, and a lot of those people were very vocal on Twitter. I mean, a lot of our friends who are national analysts and NFL scouts, and a lot of people got very vocal about why in the hell is he still in the football game. And they all backed up, and that included a lot of Georgia fans. I wrote about this in my piece. When they came and grabbed him, he was surrounded by all these people during the celebration. They came and grabbed him. You got to come up on stage. And one of his teammates, I couldn't tell who it was because he pulled a T-shirt over his jersey. But he said, oh, yeah, Stetson. He goes, they're all about your ass now, aren't they? And they all just laughed. But he never let any of that affect him. And that, to me, is the most impressive part of the story. Because, I mean, listen, we both got kids of that generation. For a 23-year-old in college to be able to ignore social media, that's a Herculean task. I'm impressed, aren't you?
No, his ability to put on blinders and ignore all the outside noise was maybe his best attribute, to just not care what anybody said about him or wrote about him. It just amazed me. I mean, I did a couple of interviews right before the game, and people were asking me if there was any chance JT Daniels was going to play this week. You know, would they go to JT if Stetson's struggling? I'm like, JT Daniels hasn't played significant minutes for Georgia since September, early October.
Yep.
You know, you're not going to put in a game against Alabama in the national championship game. Kirby Smart, Todd Monken, his offensive coordinator, decided a couple months ago that they were rolling with Stetson Bennett, win or lose, and we're going to take their chances. His mobility is grossly underrated. He doesn't have the strongest arm in the world. He's not Bryce Young. He's not C.J. Stroud. But he's what that team needed, and those kids believed in him, and they were going to fight for him. And he ended up winning a national championship. I mean, the last guy, I always get this stat wrong, but, I mean, Buck Blue threw the ball like seven times against Notre Dame. All he had to do was hand it off to Herschel Walker. All Stetson Bennett had to do was make a few throws, not make bad decisions, and let his defense and running game win it. And that's exactly what he did. He made a couple of nice throws last night, but Alabama is the greatest dynasty in the modern history of the sport. But when people were saying Georgia can't beat Alabama with Stetson Bennett, with all due respect to Zach Calzada beat Alabama. And Stetson Bennett's a better quarterback than Zach Calzada.
You look at the guys that won the last five quarterbacks to win this game, last six, Deshaun Watson, Trevor Lawrence, Tua, Joe Burrow, Mac Jones, all first-round draft picks, and now Stetson Bennett. And texting with our NFL people, they're like, if he decides to go into the draft, they're all like, we're being kind if we say probably a late third rounder. So it's true Rudy, which is the best part I've heard. Yeah. All right. So of all the people in the great piece you wrote on ESPN.com, Mark Slaybaugh, of all the people, when you get home to Georgia, who's the one you're the happiest for? Of all these people I drive by their houses and their barns and the people I see around town, who's the one you're happiest for? I mean, other than yourself.
Oh, that's a good question. Yeah, I mean, just a lot of people. I mean, I'm happiest for my girls, like I said, because, you know, they're having the time of their lives. I told somebody yesterday, Kirby needs to start going 8-4 more often to save me some money because this playoff crap's getting expensive. But, there were a couple of guys in the press box last night who worked for the Georgia Athletics Department who I've known for 25, 30 years. And one of them found out his father had passed away after the SEC championship game when he was getting on the bus, and his dad was a huge Dogs fan. And he was in tears talking about how much it meant to him. And I mean, it's just a lot of people got those stories.
Yeah. And it's one of those places that, you know, it's always connected to that one team from 1980. And now there's a whole other generation, a couple of generations that had to do without, and now they'll be talking about this team forever. And the fourth quarter was so stunning to me that even last night at 1:30 in the morning when I was writing my story, I had to go look and see what the final score was. And I didn't even appreciate how bonkers that fourth quarter was until, you know, 2 hours later when I had to go back and break it down. The feeling in the pit of the stomach when that pass turned fumble turned bizarre call, I've never experienced that in a national championship game. And the press box was so confused. The Georgia fan base was at that point, was it just, oh no, here we go again?
Exactly. I mean, when they said fumble recovered by the defense, I didn't think there was any way the Branch, the Bama guy, picked it up.
Yeah.
But then you look at the replay, and he's got his foot in. I still don't think it was a fumble. His arm was going forward, and the ball went about 14 yards down the field. But, yeah, I mean, that was Justin Fields on a fake punt and second and 26, and the safety not getting wide. You know, it's just like Alabama always seems to get the breaks against Georgia. Alabama always seems to make the plays in the end to beat them, and it looked like, as dominant as they had been and on defense, and even with Jamison Williams out, that Alabama was still going to try to figure out how to get it done. Chris Lowe, our colleague, in the early fourth quarter, said Nick Saban's done everything in college football. Now he's going to win a national championship without scoring a touchdown. that's where it seemed to go. And that would be the most typical Georgia thing ever. But I thought it turned. The Bama kid dropped the ball at the end zone down the right sideline. They line up to kick a field goal. Jalen Carter blocks it. And then immediately, I think right after that, James Cook busts off the long one. And then he makes the tremendous throw and catch by A.D. Mitchell. And then come back and Brock Bowers does his thing. And, even at the end, when Bowers scored and made it an 8-point game, you know, it was 8 points, one possession, 3 minutes left on the clock. I was sitting there thinking, we're going to overtime. because I figured Bryce Young would figure out how to get him in the end zone. But I mean, even like I wrote, even when Kelee Ringo picked off that pass and took off down the right sideline, everybody in the building, including Kirby Smart, was telling him to get down because he knew it was going to bounce into an Alabama player's hands and run it back the other way. That's how much scar tissue there is.
That's what you're conditioned to believe at that point. Yeah. The press release went out right before we started recording the official plans for the national championship parade in Athens. It'll be this weekend. What's that scene going to be like?
It's going to be crazy. I think they're going down Lumpkin, right through campus and then over to the stadium. Were you talking about what it means to people? I wish Munson was here. Hell, I wish Lewis Grizzard was here to still see it. But it'll be fun. It'll be maybe they can get Jason Aldean and Luke Bryan and some of those guys to come back.
Well, Mark Slaybaugh just mentioned Lewis Grizzard in his amazing piece that's on ESPN.com right now. He quotes Lewis Grizzard. He quotes a guy named Waylon Hitchcock. He quotes Jason Aldean. And there's a lot of heart in that piece, and y'all need to go read it. All right, Mark Slaybaugh, go catch your flight, and good luck getting home. And tell everybody to get some good as headache powder and an IV bag and get ready for the weekend.
All right. Thanks, Ron. Have a good week.
There you go, Mark Slaybaugh. I'm telling you, the piece is so good, and it's because it's got heart in it. And we all do our jobs, and we're in this business because we love it. And because we love the sport, and we're all objective, but your team is also your team, and I think you could hear it right there in the voice of Mark Slaybaugh, and that's why you need to go read the piece. And speaking of more dog people, tomorrow here on the ESPN College Football Podcast, David Pollack will return. He will be with Reese Davis, and I saw Pollack at it was probably 10 minutes after the game on the field. And again, he had his media hat off and his big black G hat on, proverbially. Is that even a word? I slept about 3 hours last night. He was very excited is what I'm trying to say. So I cannot wait to hear what he has to say to Reese. And of course, Reese was on stage, interviewing, Kirby Smart and Stetson Bennett, there during the trophy ceremony. They'll recap that and what was an historic night. In Indianapolis, as the Georgia Bulldogs won the national championship. Thanks for listening to the ESPN College Football Podcast. I'm Ryan McGee.